going to begin reading there in just a moment. We're going to begin beginning in verse 8 in just a moment. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. You know, we've been looking at a series of messages based on something that I read a few years ago. Well, the Southern Baptist did a survey on people that were unchurched, people who did not go to church, and asked them some questions. They asked them, what is the most important thing in your life? What's the most important thing that you want out of life? And when they got the results back, the survey said that people were looking basically for four things from life. They were looking for hope. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and we have hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you have hope this morning. And last week we looked at purpose. To know him and know his purpose for our lives, to be witnesses, to glorify him. And we find that through Jesus Christ also. And this morning we're going to be looking at the third thing, and that is people are looking for peace. You know, so many websites today and foundations of things people build upon and the songs we sing are all about wanting peace. You may remember John Lennon, one of the Beatles, wrote a song years ago called Imagine. I'm sorry to say that John Lennon, from everything I knew, never knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And listen to what he says as a lost person. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. John Lennon wanted peace. He thought, felt like the world wanted peace, but he didn't know where peace came from. He was looking in, as they say, in all the wrong places. See, people desire peace, but there's only one true peace. I want us to read this passage of Scripture. I want to start in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. If you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God, holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. Amen. Right, Adrian? Now there were in this same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, look what he says, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, our hearts do desire peace. Lord, but you have provided peace for us. And we thank you. Lord, help us to delve into your word this morning, to look into its truth, to know the true meaning of peace and how you've provided it for us. We give you thanks in Christ's name, and amen. You may be seated. You know, I think if we're going to talk about peace this morning, we're going to see what God's word has to say about it. First thing we have to do is define peace. What are we talking about with peace? I went on dictionary.com, and it gives several definitions of what peace is. And I want you to listen to these just for a moment. First off, it says it's the absence of fighting. Is peace the absence of fighting? Is it just having a ceasefire and no active conflicts or wars going on, a laying down of our weapons? I read this account. A former president of the Norwegian Academy of Sciences and historians from England, Egypt, and Germany and India came up with some startling information. I want you to listen to this. Since 3600 BC, which is about the beginning of the world, by the way, the world has known only 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of the property destroyed would pay for a golden belt around the world 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. listen to this. Since 650 BC, there have also been 1,656 arms races, only 16 which have not ended in war. The remainder ended in economic collapse of the countries involved. Is peace just an absence of fighting? Well, we look at our world, we look at history, and there's never really been much peace through that. Maybe you studied this in school, the Pax Romana. What meant Roman peace? It was when Rome ruled the world, the Romans did from 27 BC to about 180 AD. But was that true peace? They call it in Latin Pax Romana, or the peace of Rome. Was it true peace? Was it true peace when Herod slaughtered the innocent little children in Bethlehem that Christmas morning, that day? Was it true peace when Josephus, a Jewish historian, writes in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple and killed 1.1 million Jews? Was that peace? When 960 thereabouts died in Masada in a mass suicide trying to escape Roman rule? You know, God's offer of peace here had to resonate with the shepherds. He says, I give you peace, goodwill toward men. Was it just the absence of fighting? No, that's not true peace, because there's never really been any. Isn't an agreement or treaty, we say have a peace accord, or the Cold War I grew up in, where the Russians and America were at this constant each other's throat, but not literally fighting with one another, but they were constantly in odds with one another. Is it détente? And I looked up the word détente again, because I didn't remember what it meant exactly, but it means basically a cooling down of ill feelings toward one another. You know, the Cold War, the Russians and Americans were always at each other's throat, about ready, thought any minute somebody was going to push the button and start a nuclear war. And then came détente. We're going to just kind of back off and cool down a little bit. Is that peace? Or a SALT treaty, a strategic arms limitation treaty? Is it laying down of arms when all is quiet, when somebody's got their finger poised on the trigger and have the codes in front of them to start the war? You know, I looked up so many treaties in the U.S. The U.S. alone has entered into, and there have been hundreds of them, especially hundreds with American Indians. I found that there was like 14,327 treaties that America has entered into, some of them economic, some of them political, some military. And I bet you don't want to guess how many of them were broken. See, treaties don't bring world peace. Certainly not peace in our hearts the world over. Is it freedom from civil disturbances? You know, Barney Fife back in Mayberry, they had to arrest Otis sometime for disturbing the peace because he was drunk. You think about that. We haven't heard that term too much, but you know, sometimes people get arrested for disturbing the peace, whether it's loud voices or whatever it may be. I remember we lived in Russellville, Kentucky, a small town. We lived right in the center of town, and it was nothing all night long, whether you were inside or out of the house, to hear loud voices from other houses around, dogs, sirens, lights flashing with the police running up and down the street all during the middle of the night. Even one time there, we even heard some guns going off. I finally called the police after I heard them yelling out there about two streets over. I don't know what they were doing. Is that peace? You know, sometimes I wonder if we could see what goes on behind closed doors, and then I think, no, I don't want to see what goes on behind closed doors. Is there peace in homes in Hamlin County? Is there peace in homes in America? Is there peace in homes the world over? Is it just a freedom from civil disturbances? Is it a freedom from strife or dissension? Where there's no open conflict and no heated debates, no arguments, whether it be at school or home or the workplace or whatever's going on. You know, it's kind of amazing with teammates and coaches how they get into one another's face and get into arguments and fights. And maybe you saw it in the news just about a month ago. Two of Tennessee's players got in a fight at practice. One of them ended up with stitches in his head, having to go to the emergency room. The other one got suspended for a few days. Two teammates. And maybe you remember the national championship game back, I think it was about 2014, Alabama was way ahead and won the game, and it was at the last stages of the game, and the quarterback was behind the center, and he was wanting them to snap the ball, and for whatever reason, the center wasn't snapping the ball, and they finally had to call timeout, and A.J. McCarron there, Alabama quarterback, starts screaming at his center right in his face, and this guy's about 6 inches taller, and he just grabs him and just shoves him back like this, like, get out of my face, boy. Teammates. Just won a national championship. They're right ready to fight on national TV. Is it a state of mutual harmony? Do you know the Greek word for peace that Jesus uses in John 14, 27 is this, where he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, that word in the Bible is found 86 times, and it really means this, to be set at one again, to be together. That's what Jesus said peace was. See, true peace is being brought into harmony with God, and through our relationship with Jesus Christ, being in harmony with our fellow man. That's true peace. It's not just a ceasing of conflict, but a creation of harmony between two parties. Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? You lay down on your head on your pillow at night and you go to sleep knowing that if you were to die that night, that you'd be in the presence of God immediately and you'd have peace with Him? Or is it a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, not having peace with Him? See, there's the true definition of peace. But I want you to notice, secondly, man's desire for peace. Maybe you know that actor Harrison Ford has been in a lot of the Star Wars movies and Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that series of movies. Somebody asked Harrison Ford what he desired most in his life. And they kind of try to prime the pump, if you would, decide to say, is it money you want, more money? Is it fame you want? Said Harrison Ford just kind of looked at him and said, no, really, I have all of those I want. I really want peace. I would like to have peace. A man in the world's eyes who has it all says, I want peace. Do you have peace? See, man desires peace. We crave peace in our relationships with our families. You know, sometimes we talk about somebody and we'll say, well, that's a dysfunctional family. Can I let you in on a little secret? We're all dysfunctional. Hello? We're all sinners. We're all messed up. You know, sometimes I've heard people say something like, talking about somebody else, they say, you know, they're just weird. Well, we're all weird, amen? Do you know I'm somebody's weird? Hello? I'd like to be weird because I love Jesus most of all. Hello? But you stop and think about it. We got all this stuff going on between ourselves. Somebody said, well, that's not normal. Would you define normal? What's normal? And sometimes we have open conflict. And sometimes it's just coldness and a cold war in our homes where we're not speaking to one another and giving each other the silent treatment. And how many family hostilities do you see on the news? How many instances of domestic violence in homes? And even now it's, in our day and time, it's escalated to shooting one another and killing one another. We desire peace with our families. We desire peace with our friends. You know, that you stop and think about so many people that were once great buddies and friends and walked together and did things together, now they're no longer speaking. And sometimes you talk to them and they can't even tell you why. Got it started over some little argument, so many different, just a little disagreement, and now they don't even speak. And at work, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, you know, I talk to people, and I've been in the workplace for years before I went in full-time ministry. I know what it's like when people are at odds at the workplace. There's not peace there. It's not fun to get up and go to work in the morning. Can I get an amen? Sometimes you want to get up and just cry before you get up and go to work because you just dread it. And sometimes we're not at peace with ourselves. Got any worry warts here? Don't answer. You're worried about this, you're worried about that, you're suspicious about this, you got resentment, you got grudges in our lives that steal our peace. Maybe there's unforgiveness towards someone of some hurt they did to us, maybe yesterday or maybe years ago, and it robs you and me of our peace when we're not at one with each other. We crave being at one with each other again. And sometimes we're just mad at ourselves. I get mad at myself. Because I don't always do what I ought to do, and I always don't act like I should act. And then I tell myself, you know better than that. Why did you let yourself get all upset? Hello, can I get a witness? But you most of all, we crave peace with our God. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. Isaiah goes on to say in 59:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You know, when we're all sinners, but we're still living in dead and trespassing and sins without Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we're separated from God. There is no peace for it, someone separated from God. And we cry out in our world for peace. And there's wars and battles. People stage sit-ins and sit-downs and marches and protests and kneels, and they write songs about it, and they hold rallies and concerts for peace. And the anger between nations and peoples and all the hatred and the terrorists to hate one another, race or culture, religious differences, and on we could go. I don't know if you've ever even heard of it, much less read it. Fox's Book of Martyrs, it was written about all the people that died for the Christian faith back in the before the Dark Ages, back from 1000 to about 1400 AD. But one of the things about, it's interesting about Fox's Book of Martyrs, all those who died for their faith, most of those people died at the hands of religious people. Many of them claiming to be Christians. The Catholic Church, and I'm not trying to bust Catholics, if any of you got a background of Catholic or maybe you're Catholic, but the Catholic Church has been responsible for more deaths, Christian deaths, than any other group. And Jesus said it would happen. He said, those that one day will take your life and they'll think they do God's service. Paul was in that category. He was imprisoning Christians, having them stoned and having them beaten for their faith and thinking he was doing the right thing with God. Such much violence in our world, from the home to the schoolhouse, and should we even mention the shootings and the abuse in the families? We crave peace. We want peace. But let me tell you something. There's God's declaration of peace here. Let me read it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God declares peace for all mankind. That the Prince of Peace is being born into the world. Shepherds, you need to go see him. He is the one who's going to bring peace to our world. Hallelujah. You know this verse, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He came to make peace with God and man. We can have harmony with God. Paul said in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. What does that mean? That means forgiving and being forgiven. Just like God can forgive us through his son, Jesus Christ. See, forgiveness was and is extended to all mankind. The atonement for our sins. Do you know what the word atonement means? It means that one meant. Us being separated from God can be back, be one with God again. All because the Prince of Peace has come. He came to reconcile us to himself. The differences between God and man has been settled on the cross when he paid the price for our sins. Our sins had separated. Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sin. And you know something? There's no limit to God's forgiveness. Stop and think about this for a minute. There's no limit in scope. Let's say you're here this morning and you've lived your whole life apart from God. Maybe you committed a lot of atrocious, heinous sins. You've turned your back on God. Let me tell you something. If you came right now and said, God, I repent of my sins. I turn my sins. I trust you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. He would forgive you. And maybe you're 1 week away from death. Or maybe you're 1 day from death. Maybe you're like the thief hanging on the cross, hours away from death or even minutes away from death. And you say, God, would you forgive me? He will forgive you. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, through his mercy and grace, has forgiven us through his son, Jesus Christ. I hope you've done that this morning. There's no limit in the scope of his forgiveness. And there's no limit in character. There's no sin too great that God can't forgive. Yeah, it's sometimes people say, well, God wouldn't forgive you of that. Well, let me tell you something. Did that mean that Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, paying sins, paying for the sins of all mankind, would all of a sudden say, whoops, I missed one. I got to go back to the cross and pay for that one. No, he paid for every sin, past, present, and future, for all mankind if they would trust him. See, the only limit to God's forgiveness is our willingness to repent and trust him as our Lord and Savior. Hello? Have you done that? See, his peace can be received. You see, God offers it to his son, Jesus Christ, and we can receive it. It is a free gift. We can't purchase it. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. I love what Paul said in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, if you trust Jesus, God will grant you his forgiveness. God will give you his peace. God will give you redemption. He will adopt you in his family, make his child. Your sins pardoned. A judgment has been diverted. Crimes have been forgiven. And being part of his family. You know, that's the neat thing about salvation. It's one thing to, if say, like, you did something horrible to me, and I said, I forgive you. But if then I brought you into my family and fed you a Thanksgiving dinner and took good care of you and offered to take care of you for the rest of your life, that's beyond our human comprehension. But that's what God did for us. He forgave us, but then he brought us into his family and said, I'm going to take care of you forever in a wonderful place called heaven. I'll take care of you in this world. I'll give you my Holy Spirit, as Adrian mentioned there, to live with you and lead you and guide you in all truth and to give you assurance and comfort and whatever you need and wisdom and discretion. But one day when you die, you'll be with me forever. And there'll be no more sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no death, no pain. All the former things have been passed away. Peace can be received. Heaven is a place of perfect peace. And we can know that peace through his son, Jesus. And the conflict has been resolved. The sin has been dealt with on the cross. Paul said in Colossians 1:20, and by him we reconcile all, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. It's all about the blood of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord.